Welcome to the Cool Tools Show. I'm Mark Frauenfelder, Editor-in-Chief of Cool Tools, a website of tool recommendations written by our readers. You can find us at cool-tools.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Kelly, founder of Cool Tools. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
In each episode of the Cool Tools Show, Kevin and I talk to a guest about some of his or her favorite uncommon and uncommonly good tools they think others should know about. Our guest this week is Ben Baker. Ben Giddy Baker fell in love with the idea that anyone, anywhere can build their own musical instrument and make music on it. His company was founded to spread that message all around the world. Hey, Ben, how are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Good. It's great to talk to you in person. I don't think we have before, but I am a longtime fan of your website, cbgiddy.com, because you sell materials to make a cigar box and other kind of homemade stringed instruments, which is something that I like to do in my spare time. And so we're going to talk a little bit about kind of tools related to making musical instruments and things like that. Let's start off with a simple tool, but I don't know if everyone actually has one. It's an 8-ounce brass head dead blow hammer. What's the what is it, and what do you do with it?
Well, I chose that one because when I'm able to get out into the workshop, which with running a business isn't as often as I would like these days, I got to thinking, what tools am I always reaching for when I'm there at the bench building a new cigar box guitar or other instrument? And this little hammer, it's a dead blow hammer, which means the head is filled with a metal shot. So when you strike something, it doesn't have that bounce and recoil that a standard hammer will. And one of the heads is brass, and the other head is kind of the molded plastic that the rest of the hammer is. And it's great for more gentle tapping or hammering. You know, most people have a hammer of some sort, but with that hardened steel head, you can dent softer metals, you can dent wood. Having a little more, shall we say, gentle method of persuasion is handy at the workbench. And this, I always find myself reaching for one of these. And I liked it so much that I found a supplier and brought in like 3,000 of them. So I've got a few spares now. And also sell them on the CB Giddy website. So
I see. And so the idea here is that if you're trying to hit something that maybe could be marred, or is it the actual, it makes a different kind of hit?
A little bit of both, Kevin. We got them in as a fretting hammer. When installing fret wire on a guitar neck, the fret wire is usually nickel silver, which is a fairly soft alloy. And if you use a steel hammer, it will dent. But if you use a brass head hammer, it won't. And also when installing frets, you don't want the hammer to bounce. You know, when you strike, you want it to just go thunk. Mm-hmm. Transmit the force to the fret wire, drive it in just enough, and a hardened steel hammer isn't very good for that either. So it's a combination of the how it does not it'll still dent wood if you give it a good whack, you know, but it's a combination of it being a softer material on the head so it doesn't dent as easily, mm-hmm. and how it strikes that dead blow where it hits and doesn't bounce. Those are the key things about it.
Cool.
That's interesting. So yeah, I actually know a lot less about it than I thought. So it's hollow and it's got like little tiny lead balls in it or something, or
BBs, sand? Like BBs, like a little BBs.
Yeah, I think it's like tiny buckshot, you know, or birdshot in there, tiny ball bearings that because of how they hit and kind of, you know, I don't know the physics behind it, and I haven't actually opened one up, but it transfers the force in a slightly different way than just a solid hunk of metal would.
Yeah, I mean, in like kind of intuitively, I'm thinking like if you had a sock filled with sand and you slapped it on the ground, it would just thud.
Yeah. It would. Now, if you had a sock with a rock in it, it would bounce or, mm-hmm. or skew or do something else. But that sand just goes thunk and sits there. And that's exactly the a good comparison for this.
That's okay. So cool.
I think they sometimes use this in jewelry making too, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so. Anytime you want a precise transfer of force without any of the other accoutrements that can go with it, this is a good method.
And so do you mainly use it to tap in fret wire, or is there other parts of the music instrument making where it comes in handy?
Well, I'll tell you, like I said, I got them as a fretting hammer, and we do use them for that every day. But I quickly found that for all sorts of gentler, persuasive activities at the bench, you know, tapping a dowel into a hole or tapping, you know, sometimes cigar boxes can get a little skewed, and, you know, tapping a hinge back into shape. It's just a nice, small, lightweight, fairly delicate hammer that I'm always reaching for, and I rarely reach for the steelhead hammer that's right next to it. So
that's cool. And $13, and it's day glow orange, so you're not going to lose it on your workbench.
It is. It stands out in a storm.
Very cool. All right. Well, so your next tool is actually a website, and it's called cigarboxguitar.com. Tell us about it.
Well, I put that on there as a tool because, you know, tools are a very broad category. And it's a site that I created and have built up full of free how-to information related to cigar box guitars and other homemade instruments. We've got how to build them, how to play them. We've got modern plans and blueprints, got historic plans and blueprints. We've got photo galleries of famous celebrities holding and playing cigar box guitars. So my goal with that was to make it the one-stop resource and knowledge base for the entire homemade instrument movement. And it's been a work in progress over a few years, but there's a lot of great stuff on there. So for someone who hears this and is interested in this idea of, hey, wait, I can make my own instrument out of a box and a stick and some strings, how do I do that? This website pretty much gives you everything you need in what I hope is a fairly intuitive way.
And is it just for cigar boxes? You kind of hinted that it was for maybe other things. People want to make banjos or gourd guitars. I don't know what these are called, but is it as broad as that?
In a way, it is, Kevin. We try to focus on handmade, homemade instruments, specifically using stuff that was never really meant to make music or have a voice. So for a banjo, we'd be looking more at like a cookie tin banjo, or people have made them out of bedpans and all sorts of crazy things. Or, you know, the gourd. I believe we've got some plans for a traditional style gourd banjo or lute on there, and canjos and diddly bows and mountain dulcimers and all sort upright, you know, gut buckets and washtub basses, all that sort of stuff that is musical instruments made from objects and items that were never meant to have a voice, never meant to make music.
Cool.
So talk about tablature a little bit. Cigar box guitars usually don't have six strings. They usually are one, two, three, four strings.
That's right. And I put tablature on my list of tools partly because I've been feverishly creating it over the last few days. I'm working on a new songbook of tablature for a one-string instrument that we call a canjo. And basically,
I don't know what tablature is. Maybe if you could just define that.
Sure. Tablature is a way of depicting where you put your fingers on a fretted instrument neck to play your particular tune. So usually there are horizontal lines that represent the strings on an instrument, and then there are numbers that get placed on those lines that indicate what fret you place your finger on to play a particular note. And the number of horizontal lines depends on what instrument it's written for. So a conventional six-string guitar will have six lines, a three-string cigar box guitar will have three, and so forth. And it's a very easy, it's a much easier and more approachable and accessible way for a beginner to start playing recognizable music. They don't have to learn musical notation. They don't have to know what all the notes and lines and everything mean. It's just pretty much a way of displaying, put your fingers here and you'll get a song out of it. So I like it as a very accessible, kind of like an on-ramp to playing a musical instrument.
These days, it seems like when people want to learn anything, they go to YouTube. So is this, are you doing this on YouTube?
Well, tablature is kind of by its definition a written form, a printable or graphic form. We do have videos, many of them linked on cigarboxguitar.com, of people giving a lesson with a particular piece of tablature on how to play it. So you get the visual of where they're putting their fingers, what the song sounds like, and all of that, which, you know, tablature really only works well if you already know the song or know the tune in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't tell you how long to hold a note or what the rhythm is or any of that. So it's not a perfect medium, but definitely an accessible one.
If someone says, I'm interested in making musical instruments of, you know, maybe even if it was just string instruments in my garage or workshop, besides the Debolo hammer, is there another tool that you would suggest that they get or something else that they should have that would really help them invent or create or play with homemade musical instruments?
Yeah, your basic toolkit. And I have to say there are builders that some of whom only use hand tools and others who use CNC routers and lasers and all, you know, 3D printers. So there's a broad range of the tools that you can use to build these. It comes down to what you like. And you know, if you're having fun, you're doing it right. That's the what I always like to say. But your basic tool kit, you really need something to be able to make a hole, whether it's a hand drill or a power drill or something. Being able to drill holes is a pretty integral part. Some sort of rasp or file for rounding over necks and taking off rough edges and smoothing things down is pretty good. Some form of being able to cut wood, whether it's a hand saw or a power saw, is good because you got to be able to cut some things to length and such like that. Beyond that, you know, some form of fasteners like screws or nails and a screwdriver. But we have stories, some of which we've collected firsthand, of one of them was a musician down in New Orleans named Little Freddie King. And he told the story on stage of when he was 6 years old building himself a guitar out of a cigar box and an old stick from the farm there and a wire from a screen door. And he got it all put together and with a bent nail for a tuner that he twisted around and got a little tight enough and got a little tune out of that one string. And that was his start. So the beauty of these things is you can have them as primitive as you want or make them as complex and finely finished as you want. There really aren't any rules beyond the ones you set for yourself.
So you have a business, you know, the cigarbox.com is a business, you sell kit parts and things like that. Are there any tools that you found in running your little business that have been really helpful, whether it's, I don't know if you use TikTok or Shopify or other behind-the-scenes tools, Quicken Books. What do you use to run your business?
Well, that has certainly evolved over the years. I started this business back in 2009 in my basement, and it was just me cutting some fret wire up and selling it on eBay. So over time, it's evolved. So if you're asking if somebody wanted to start a similar business, what would they use?
Yes.
The answer might be a little different from what I'm using now.
So what would be, if you were doing it again today, what would you use?
Well, there, you mentioned Shopify. Them and BigCommerce are kind of equal giants in the online e-commerce world, and they make it really easy to get a good-looking e-commerce storefront up and running. I've tried them both, and they, you know, fairly similar feature sets and relatively similar costs. So that would certainly be a
Why did you go with BigCommerce versus Shopify?
They got to me first, to be honest. I had had a self-hosted e-commerce, open source e-commerce platform that I was running and hosting myself, and that it worked well for a couple of years, and then I really started to feel the strain of, you know, if that server goes down, suddenly you're not making any money, you know. So having a professionally hosted and maintained e-commerce platform really became necessary for what I wanted to do. And BigCommerce, I would choose them again if I had to do it again now over Shopify. Yeah. is a different service altogether.
Have you done the design of your website, or did you go with a template that someone offered, or how did that work?
Well, my previous life before launching this business was as a web developer, software engineer. All right. But that being said, I've been actively trying to forget as much of that as possible. So I've done some tweaking and modifying of a pre-made theme.
Uh-huh. And are you shipping and packaging stuff and doing these kind of orders? Do you have any kind of tools that you use for the general business part of your business?
Yes, we've been using stamps.com for a long time because we do all of our order processing in-house. I mean, we do some with Amazon Fulfilled, but the vast majority of what goes out, we ship from here, we package it here, we actually manufacture a lot of it here. I've got a full workshop where we make I always want to make as many parts as we can here, you know, instead of just importing and
what kind of tools do you use to make these things?
Oh boy, we got a full wood shop out there with, you know, kind of the more traditional woodworking tools, the big edge sanders and table saw and big band saw and routers and shapers and all of that kind of good stuff. I've also got a big CNC laser, dual head laser that we're cutting a lot of parts out of thin hardwoods and plywoods using, as well as making tools and templates out of acrylic. With that, I've also got a CNC plasma machine. We're doing some thin metal part cutting. I've got a CNC router that doesn't get used as much anymore, and a second CNC laser on the way that's higher power, can cut through thicker woods. So we've got all sorts of stuff going on out there.
Wow. And these sound like industrial scale, commercial scale machines. Is that right?
Yes, they are. The router, the reason it doesn't get used as much anymore is it's kind of like high-end hobby, lower-end, small-scale commercial, and we kind of outgrew it. But yeah, these laser machines, they're made for production. Dual heads, so you're cutting two parts at any given time, which halves the cut time, which is where the cost is based on. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Do you find that most people who come to your site want to buy raw materials to make cigar box guitars? Are they buying kits, or are they buying the complete guitars that are like pre-built and ready to go?
Yes. we get... and not through any accident, we try to reach a broad range of people. So the DIY contingent is definitely a core group of customers, the people buying the parts out there, doing it themselves, a lot of them running their own businesses, reselling these guitars that they have built. And then there are kit buyers. A lot of kits get given as gifts. We work with a growing number of schools and institutions, teachers and educators building instruments with their students in the classroom, which for me is one of the best, most exciting parts of the whole thing, is that idea of getting not just the, you know, you've heard about the STEM and STEAM programs, that science, technology, engineering, and math, and it hits all of those, but we are also sneaking arts and music kind of in at the same time. And I love that idea. Now I've forgotten what the question was. I got too carried away with that.
If you have people who just buy the kind of the off-the-shelf cigar box guitars that you use versus people who are doing it themselves.
Yes.
I was wondering if it's like, is it a pretty even mix, or do you get mostly makers?
I would say that the makers, the DIY people, the people buying the parts, and even the kits are definitely the biggest contingent of customers that we have, which is a good thing, you know, because people building their own is, for me, that's one of my favorite things, that we're helping to spread this idea and getting people building and getting them to make a connection, not just with doing it themselves, but with making music that might not have been there otherwise. That, you know, the core mission, the CB Giddy, the company, is kind of like a support mechanism for the core mission of spreading that word, spreading that message, you know, and trying to spark a worldwide musical DIY revival. It's a fairly modest goal, I'd say.
That's great.
But yeah, and we do sell completed instruments as well. And actually, just recently, I've started making deals with some of our customers who build really fine, amazing instruments that I will buy them from them and resell them. The instruments built, you know, and not just using our parts, using whatever parts, but kind of making a symbiotic sort of cycle there of builders and sellers and parts and all of it.
That's really cool.
Yeah, really nice.
So I just have a question, personally curious. I've never built a cigar box guitar where you actually have the entire like neck on top of the box. And like I'm looking at some examples of that where it doesn't actually, like, you don't have to like cut a hole in the cigar box itself. You just kind of, I guess, screw the neck down onto the top of a cigar box. Does that resonate as well as the more traditional way of doing it?
Well, that's a good question. And believe it or not, there's a story there. That the stick on top style is kind of comes from the Appalachian dulcimer, the mountain dulcimer, which usually has a box of some sort with a neck mounted on top and the bridge mounted on the neck, resting on the neck. I never personally liked that style for cigar box guitar precisely because it seemed to dampen the sound. Having the bridge on the neck, you lost a lot of the vibrational power before it got to the top of the box, which is the soundboard. But I came up with what I call a flying bridge, which is basically a piece of wood with legs that goes up and over the neck, straddles it, doesn't touch it, and goes down and touches the lid of the box so that the string vibration bypasses the neck, goes right to the soundboard, and the volume difference was pretty much twofold.
Wow.
As far as how loud it was, but also the quality of the tone, much deeper and richer, less brittle and trebly. So I'm not saying I invented the flying bridge, you know. I believe with musical instruments, there are very few new things under the sun. So, but by using this method, I kind of fell in love with this idea of stick on top because it is so easy to build. It's so accessible. It kind of makes the neck a self-contained unit that you can mount to anything, you know, a cookie tin, a wine box, a whatever, you know, you can mount it to this neck, throw that flying bridge on there and be ready to go. And the proof of that, we actually out there in Los Angeles at the Muzak Carnival, Rock and Roll Carnival, we built 120 of this style of guitar in just a few hours with attendees of that event there in Donick's backyard. So it worked out pretty well, and we're going strong with it still.
That's so cool. I'm going to try that now. That's That's my next build. I'm going to use that flying bridge.
All right. Well, that's what it's for, man. I don't, people ask me why I don't apply for patents and such on anything. And like I say, there's nothing new under the sun, and anything I come up with is to be put to use, not hidden, you know? So,
yeah, for sure. Well, that's great that you did that, and very inspiring. So Ben, we're out of time, but, this has been really great hearing about you and how you've turned your passion into a business. Very inspiring. And I think that cigar box guitars are like a fantastic pursuit. And I recommend people try it because it takes a lot of the mystery out of musical instruments. Once you build one yourself, you kind of understand what's going on with them. And it makes it something that, you know, I appreciate the way that people make guitars now even more. When you see like a beautifully made guitar, you see everything that went into it.
Well, if I could just say quickly in closing, my favorite tool of all is the cigar box guitar, because it's both a tool that you make yourself and it's a work of art that you use to make more art in the form of business, in the form of music. And there are very few other tools that you can say that about, so...
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Very good. Yeah.
Well, cool. Ben, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This has been fun.
All right. It has been. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you.